Greetings to the Path family. Our slogan at the Path is meeting you where you are. We invite you to follow, share, and check us out on social media. You may connect with us at any time, anywhere, on Facebook at The Path Church or Instagram and Twitter at Join the Path. Without further delay, enjoy this week's sermon.
Good morning, Path family. It's so good to be with y'all again. I know it's been a little while, but I want to go ahead and hop in as we continue our series on 1,000 Gifts by Ann Voskamp. As we've gone through this series, it has been challenging because it's forced us to really take inventory and recognize how God has given us so many gifts and nuggets, and yet we have to push ourselves to really consider those gifts in challenging times. Last week, Angel preached about finding gratitude and loss and how important it is to look for the good in our God and to look for the gift in our loss. And I'll tell you one thing, it's been tough to really take those things in. But what do we do when we can't really make sense of what we're looking at? I mean, how exactly are we supposed to navigate when our vision is blurry? When it seems as if we've been going in circles and we can't get a clear answer from God? We're tired of waiting on God, and we know that there's a promise, but all we see is problems. Well, I think we can look back in the Old Testament and the Hebrew Bible and learn from a group of people who were wondering the exact same thing. Let's go to the book of Numbers, Numbers chapter 21. Numbers 21. But before we go, let's go to God in prayer. God in heaven, we thank you. We thank you for the continued opportunity to hear your word, to share with one another, to be able to engage. God, I pray in this moment, whatever I say, you want me to say. Whatever I don't say, you didn't want me to say anyway. And ultimately, God, I pray that you will be glorified and your people will be edified. We love you and we praise in your son Jesus' name. Amen. Numbers 21. And we're going to park at verses 4 through 9, and I'll be reading from the NRSV. Starting in verse 4, it says, "From Mount Hor, they set out by the way to the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. But the people became impatient on the way. The people spoke against God and against Moses, and they said, 'Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness?'" I mean, they seem to say that a lot. "For there is no food and no water, and we detest this miserable food. Then the Lord sent poisonous serpents among the people, and they bit the people so that many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, 'We have sinned by speaking against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord to take away the serpents from us.' So Moses prayed for the people, and the Lord said to Moses, 'Make a poisonous serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten shall look at it and live.' So Moses made a serpent of bronze and put it upon a pole, and whenever a serpent bit someone, that person would look at the serpent of bronze and live." Whenever a serpent bit someone, that person would look at the serpent of bronze and live. What's going on here? Well, basically, they're stuck between a rock and a hard place. They're still wandering, they're still searching for the promise, and they're tired, they're frustrated, and they're grieving. Chapter 22 closed with them having to bury Aaron, Moses' brother, their high priest. And they're coming out of a time of mourning, and they find themselves trying to negotiate through foreign lands to get to the promise. And it's here that they get so frustrated that they start lashing out, and in their lashing out, they have to endure more heartache, more death, and more pain. Very much like us in the last couple of years, they've lost family members on this journey. They've lost security. They have lost faith, and they've lost vision. But in this moment, I think about how interesting it is that we can have this entire grouping of stories at our disposal. We can see the challenges and the mistakes and the pitfalls and turn around and be just like these people that we read about. But not only do we see their mistakes, but even though we can see it, we still make the same mistakes they made. And yet we can turn our nose up at them and act as if they weren't navigating through it. We can zoom out and we can see, but they were going through it. In this moment, they were having to figure out how they would make it forward. But see, that's what we can do with the biblical narrative sometimes. We can have history behind us and we can see how God was working in their story. And then we can start saying, why can't they be grateful? They don't see how God rescued them from Egypt. Well, why can't you be grateful? You don't see how God rescued you from that unhealthy relationship? Why can't they see what God is doing? He's trying to take them to the promised land. Well, why can't you see what God is doing? God's trying to take you to the next phase of your spiritual development, and yet you're tired of doing the same thing over and over and over again. You see, in the Israelites' lives and in our lives, the problem is the same. It's a vision issue. And anytime there's an issue with your vision, it's an opportunity to fix your focus. And that's the title of my message today. Fix your focus. You see, focus is an interesting concept. Even as I stand right here in front of you on the screen, the only reason that there's clarity, the only reason that you're able to see the one that's communicating with you is because Chase took the time to make sure the tools at his disposal were clearly aimed at a fixed object that it's supposed to capture. You know, I'm not ready to start preaching for real just yet, but I want to take a moment to ask, what exactly have you fixed your focus on lately? Is it possible that God is trying to communicate something to you and you haven't quite adjusted your lens so that the God of the universe is in focus? In our passage, the people are fed up. They've traveled, they've mourned, they've grown tired of the magical wonder bread from heaven, and now they got a snake problem. It's as if the problems just keep coming. But in the ancient Middle East, snakes were symbolic and they had a dualistic nature. They were looked to for both healing and yet they were dangerous. Nonetheless, the people had an opportunity to shift and repent, but it took a catalyst and they needed to recognize how important it was to focus in the frustration. And that's my first point, focus in frustration. Verse 7 and 8 in Numbers 21, the people are finally recognizing that they lost focus on what was right about their situation. They lost focus on God moving in such miraculous ways that they couldn't comprehend it. And in their grief, their anger, their frustration, and their weariness, they started zooming in on everything that was wrong. They were alive and not enslaved. They had heavenly meal prep for years and years. They had seen miracle after miracle in the wilderness. God was guiding, loving, and protected them. And yet their gratitude waned and all they did was complain. But I can relate. I can relate to that. Can you? I mean, how many times have we gone through life telling God, God, we trust you. We trust you, God. How many times have we asked God to do the miraculous in our lives? How many times have we looked back and said, God, you made the impossible possible? But as soon as we face the next obstacle, as soon as the next discomfort comes, as soon as we have the next frustrating moment, all of that is out the window. We forget. We get amnesia. Now, you don't have to tell on yourself, and I'll let you act like that ain't you, and it's okay. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about me. But what about God? What about when God gave you an opportunity to get out of that abusive friendship or relationship, and you started wandering and ended up back there, only to get frustrated with God when more challenges came? Or what about when the most minor inconvenience pops up and we forget that God moved mountains and made it possible for us even to be inconvenienced in the moment? You know, I'll be honest with y'all. As I was preparing this message, I thought about me and Taylor's trip a couple weeks ago. A couple weeks ago, we had the opportunity to go to Jamaica, and this was a trip that we had been planning for months. I mean, God moved things and moved people's hearts and made it possible for all we had to do. All we had to do was pay for the flight and the excursions. And we got an opportunity to go Thanksgiving week. And so a couple of days before the flight, we find out that we have to do a travel authorization to enter the country. And so Taylor was telling me to do it, you know, and I'll give her credit. She definitely made sure that we had our I's dotted and our T's crossed. But me being me, I was a little too busy. And so the night before our flight, I go online and I fill out the travel authorization. I think everything is good. Except it wasn't. We got to the front of the line at the ticket counter and put our bags on the scale. And the lady said, all right, you got your COVID cards? Check. You got your passports? Check. You got your ticket? Check. Got your travel authorizations? Hey, babe, did you get two? Did you happen to get one for me and for you? She was like, where's yours? Well, in that moment, I realized that I didn't do exactly what I was supposed to do. And so we moved to the side and I ended up filling out the travel authorization. And it came back about 10 seconds later. And so it was a breath of relief. We get back to the front. We race to security. But it's the day before Thanksgiving. It's the longest line ever. I've never seen a security line this long flying out of the busiest airport in the world. And in that moment, the frustration came back. Taylor was frustrated with me. I was frustrated with her. I don't know what I was frustrated with her about, but I was. I was frustrated about the situation. I was frustrated even though God had made all of this possible. And so then we get to the front of the security line and one of our bags gets retained. And here we are. The frustration mounts again. And then we're running through the airport like it's home alone. And we get on the plane 2 minutes before the doors to the plane close. And in all of this, we have an opportunity to focus even in the frustration. You know, we were frustrated over and over again. And yet, looking back, I'm able to see that God even made it possible that the plane was delayed by 7 minutes. Meaning if the delay didn't happen for 7 minutes, meaning if I didn't get the authorization in 10 seconds, meaning if we were two people behind in the security line, we would have missed the plane. And yet God was still moving and making it possible for us to focus in the frustration. You know, for you, it may not be a dramatic home alone run through the airport that causes you to need to focus in frustration, but it may be that you're at your wit's end on your job, or your kids are driving you crazy, or you're trying to muster up the courage and excitement or desire to be around family for Christmas. But at any rate, whatever it is, we have a responsibility to also put our faith in focus. And that's my second and final point today, faith in focus. In our passage in Numbers, after the people recognized their issue, they were faced with an opportunity and command to shift what they were looking at. It was apparent that they had gotten to a place where all their problems were greater than the promise, and that their pitfalls were greater than their provider. And the Israelites needed a renewal of their faith and something new to focus on. They weren't where they felt like they needed to be. The circumstances around them were dismal. The solutions weren't giving what they were supposed to give. And God, through Moses in verse 8, gives them a solution. If you were bitten by a snake, you need to focus on this bronze snake. In this ritual, the goal wasn't worship of the snake itself, but rather it was an opportunity to look up. These people had been so frustrated and downtrodden that they were looking down and around when their faith needed to be brought into focus so that they could look up. You know, in John 3, while talking to Nicodemus in the night, Jesus references this Numbers passage. And he says in John 3, 14 through 16, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. You know, I want to ask you, is your faith in focus? We live in a time when Shade Room and Spiritual Word on Instagram can take the place of making room for a spiritual word from God that loves you and is concerned about your well-being. And so I ask, what have you fixed your focus on? Is it on all the drama around us? I mean, there's no shortage of drama. There's no shortage of challenges in the world. There's no shortage of issues in society that have preceded us and proceeded from us. Or is it your own personal shortcomings and downfall? You know, whatever it is, my prayer is that you'll look up. Look up from the pit of vipers that keeps trying to bite at you. Look up from the circumstances that seem less than ideal. Look up from the constant comparison. Look up from the complacency. And when you look up, let it be Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. The Jesus who walked this earth with a faithful focus. The Jesus who had to wrestle with asking God, why? Even in Jesus' questioning, even in Jesus' trials, there was something about his focus that allowed him to recognize that there's a mission, there's an opportunity, there are challenges, and yet there is a great God. When you look up, let it be the Jesus that had to wrestle with God's plans and trusting. And let it be the Jesus who had to wonder why he had to endure being abandoned. You see, I don't know where you are on your faith journey right now, but you're watching this for a reason. You see, your story is unfolding, and it seems like it's harder and harder for you to fix your focus. I hope today that you can focus on the God that loves you enough to give you exactly what you need to get the clarity of vision that you need. You know, in the book 1000 Gifts, Ann Voskamp says, the art of deep seeing makes gratitude possible. And that is so true. I mean, the more we can see clearly, the more our focus is fixed on Jesus, the more we can see the ways that God is orchestrating things in our lives, the better it is for us, the easier it is for us to be grateful. You know, throughout the last few weeks and this last year, I mean, I think finding gratitude and being perpetually grateful seems harder and harder. And I know I'm not the only one. When we're faced with being let down and having different expectations fall through, we're forced to really have to fix our focus. You know, as we prepare for communion, where we drink the juice that represents Jesus' blood and eat the cracker that represents his body broken for us, I want us to imagine looking up at the Jesus on the cross. If it were not for his fixed focus on the joy set before him, he would not have been able to endure such a devastating and brutal torture. But because he did, we're able to look to him even when we're being attacked, even when we're being bitten. We can look up to Jesus to be healed. Let us pray. God, in this moment, even as we prepare for Christmas, our focus can be all over the place. We can find ourselves focusing on what gifts we need to get last minute or what gifts we're preparing to receive. We can be focused on getting the house in order to make sure it's prepared for an opportunity for people to come over and for family to come in. God, I pray, even in this time, that we can recognize that this is just an opportunity for us to be reminded of Jesus. God, as we take communion together, I pray that we don't take lightly everything that went into Jesus dying on the cross, Jesus being crucified on the cross for us. God, we love you, and we pray that you will be honored with our lives, that we can focus on you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. New sermons are uploaded each Monday morning. Simply search The Path Church Atlanta in iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting service. Additionally, we greatly appreciate your feedback on iTunes. If you would like to learn more about The Path, we encourage you to visit www.thepath.church. We hope to fellowship with you soon.